Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 666, titled Bad Jacketing Obama, Part 4. This program is being recorded on March 8th of the year 2009. Before we get into the main body of the broadcast, let me, as always, encourage you most emphatically to use the vast amount of information on the Spitfire List website, www.spitfirelist.com. It is the best source, frankly, for anti-fascist information available on this earth, as far as I've been able to determine. Using that and the link websites may very well be the last possibility of avoiding an absolute cataclysm. It's very ironically and disturbingly appropriate that this program would be, for the record, 666. I'm not superstitious. I'm a non-denominational, non-specific believer. I believe there is something. It's not just a bunch of dumb molecules bumping into one another. Some point, maybe I'll go into that. Check the New York Times front page of April 30th, 2001. Scientists have determined that the world, the universe, began with a sound, which caused the all the matter in the universe, which they believe was concentrated in a mass roughly the size of a man's fist, and something caused it to begin expanding. And that in and of itself is pretty mind-blowing when you consider that we are now seeing light that left the stars from which generated that light before the Earth was formed. And considering that light travels at 186,000 miles a second, that is some serious mojo. And what made the sound? Now, but how the hell did something make a sound when sound is produced by compression and rarefaction of air? In the article, I've spent enough time with language, I can tell when people are equivocating. And basically, the scientists who had come up with this can't figure it out, and I don't blame them. I don't give it a name. I don't call it Jehovah or Allah or Krishna or anything else. I call it the Force, which may sound kind of corny, but it isn't like you and I. It doesn't have arms and legs and eyes, and it isn't anything like what we have. But at the same time, I don't think it's just that existence is just a bunch of dumb molecules bumping into one another, although the existence of Rush Limbaugh would perhaps argue in the other direction in that regard. But I'll tell you, it... that this would be, for the record, 666 is disturbingly appropriate because the warm and brown is perilously poised, folks, and the gleaming blades of the fan are furiously a-whirling. And let me tell you, it is going to be some serious, serious bad stuff. In general, I am pretty impressed with most of the stuff that Barack Obama has done. He's made a serious attempt at removing the United States from the new Middle Ages, which the Bush II administrations had placed us in. And I don't agree with everything he's done, but I agree with an awful lot of the things he's done. And I think he's very courageous. I also think basically that he had an impossible task to begin with. For those of you who disagree with my assessment that the Bush administrations were basically a front for the underground Reich, look what they did to America. The engineer wrecked the bloody train, all right. And from the beginning of the programming that I did about Barack Obama, beginning with For the Record program number 654, when I talked about the slumlord connection, and continuing on up through 655, 656, and 663, dealing with bad jacketing Obama, as well as 658, was it? Heating it up for Obama. I'd have to check. I think that's what it was. 659 was update on the meltdown, but I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But I think that the next September 11th is, the stage has been set. And I noted the presence in the Barack Obama Chicago slumlord milieu of the very political enemies that would destroy him and an awful lot of other people, and destroy in the most literal sense of the word, people like Karl Rove, people supportive of George Bush, and above all else, Talat Altman, a protege of Gayit Faron of the BCCI, a director of Harkin Energy, having that was one of George Bush's many failed oil companies. The United States at this point is kind of one of George Bush's failed oil companies, I'm sorry to say. But Talat Altman was a director of Harkin Energy, having been placed there by virtue of his role as a BCCI / Gayit Faron protege. It was Talat Altman who gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention. It was Talat Altman who was one of the managing directors of the Islamic Institute, basically a Muslim Brotherhood / GOP entity, founded by Grover Norquist. That's Grover. We've got to privatize everything in the world, including both halves of your very own rear end, Norquist. And none other than Karl Rove himself, the real 666. And when the largest terror funding bust in American history took place on March 20th of 2002, it was interdicted by Talat Altman and some other luminaries in the American Muslim community. And shortly thereafter, when the after the SAR network and the Safa Trust was busted on March 20th, 2002, Talat Altman, linked to those individuals and institutions, interceded on their behalf with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who was fired about 8 months later, or actually not 8 months later, about 5 months later. And ultimately, the Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security interdicted the Operation Green Quest investigation into the SAR network and the Safa Trust. We're going to be going back into that here, but some of the appointments that Barack Obama has made, and I'm going to ruminate about why I think he may have made some of those appointments, have just basically set the stage for the next September 11th. We are also very much into a surreal political landscape, and forgive me for a little bit of rumination and perhaps retrospective editorialization, but in case it isn't pretty clear, I'm very disturbed by what I see, and I absolutely fear the worst. I think we are heading right into the abyss, and again, it's really brutally ironic that this is, for the record, 666, because Barack Obama has indeed been bad-jacketed, and I think the very forces that I have identified going back to, for the record, 654, and that I've identified in the first three bad jacketing Obama programs, 655, 56, and 63, have been pulling the chain, and I think we are in serious, serious, serious trouble. When I was young and growing up, I was very disturbed by certain genres of theater and cinema that I saw, in particular certain European filmmakers such as Fellini, certain genres of theater such as the Théâtre de l'Absurde. I didn't understand it. I found it vaguely disturbing, and one of the things I found so disturbing about it is I didn't understand it. It was presented to me as very laudable and lofty and heavy, and yet I didn't understand it. I now appreciate why some of those artists expressed themselves in that manner, because I think it, to a certain extent, they were attempting to communicate the brutal and savagely ironic sorts of relationships that I'm going to be setting forth here, but perhaps not wanting to wear the hair shirt of conspiracy theorist or the scarlet letter of conspiracy theorist, and perhaps not wanting to experience the sort of serious and violent retribution that one can experience in this line of work, they chose to express themselves artistically and somewhat obliquely. But I think the theater of the absurd and some film, European film crafters were basically trying to express these sorts of brutal and ironic relationships. In particular, after World War II, when the, quote, Allies, unquote, won and then put the same bloody fascists right back in power throughout Europe and throughout much of Asia, and this was hailed as a triumph of democracy. Well, The world as lunatic asylum is beginning to make sense to me. Let's plunge right into the material, and plunging in is a very good metaphor here. We're going to begin by taking a look at an article that appeared in the New York Times of February 5th of 2008. Cheney predicts probability, unquote, of attack. It's by Michael Falcone. It reads, in part, in an interview 2 weeks after leaving office, former Vice President Dick Cheney predicted a high probability, unquote, of a nuclear or biological attack in the next few years, and said the Obama administration was approaching a, quote, tough, mean, dirty, nasty business, unquote, of keeping the country safe from terrorists too timidly. Mr. Cheney singled out Mr. Obama's decision to close the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and to ban coercive interrogation methods as changes in course that could make the country more vulnerable. He also sought to justify the Bush terrorist surveillance program and the anti-terrorism legislation called the USA Patriot Act. Well, banning coercive interrogation methods and closing the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay and repudiating things like Abu Ghraib are, in fact, very, very good devices for combating terrorism, because there's nothing that is better for recruiting jihadists than those things. This is also not to say that one should take the sort of attitude that elements of the so-called progressive community have taken, which is, oh, there's no threat from Islamic terrorism or Islamic fascism, as I talk about it. And again, we'll go into this later and at greater length next week. The Muslim Brotherhood, the parent organization of Al-Qaeda, the parent organization of the Afghan Mujahideen during the anti-Soviet war, the parent organization of Hamas, the parent organization of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, whose North American head Sami Alari on was investigated, and that investigation led directly to the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002. Alarion, by the way, is the darling of the so-called progressive community, lionized by, in particular, by Pacifica Radio. The Muslim Brotherhood, as I've said so often, and the SpitfireList.com website is an excellent source for information about this. It's an Islamic fascist organization that was not only allied with the Axis in World War II, then jumped in turn to British intelligence, the CIA, and is very much a profound force in the Muslim community. But it can only be understood as what it in point of fact is, which is part of the fascist international. And indeed, there are profound relationships between German fascism and Italian fascism and the Muslim Brotherhood. But things like waterboarding, torture, Guantanamo Bay, and some of the tactics used there, those recruit jihadists and play right into their hands. Plus, torture is a lousy means of trying to gain information. People confess just to stop the pain. But what I found significant about this was, here we have Cheney predicting the high probability of a nuclear or biological attack in the next few years. Well, I don't doubt that one bit, and I'm sorry to say that by formally allying themselves with the Muslim Brotherhood, which the GOP and the Bush administration and Gruppenfuhrer Cheney did through the aforementioned Islamic Institute, they made this all but inevitable. What I'm going to do is to review some information from For the Record 663, Bad Jacketing Obama Part 3. And again, in order to flesh out your understanding about the Muslim Brotherhood, the Spitfire List website, one of the many things on there is the book From Cairo to Damascus, published in 1952 and authored by John Roy Carlson. Give you a really, really good early perspective on Islamic fascism and the Muslim Brotherhood. There's a whole chapter dedicated to the Muslim Brotherhood featuring an interview with Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Brotherhood. And one of the points that we made in the For the Record 663 is that heading up the Muslim organization in this country that is supposedly the moderate voice of the Muslim community, it's called American Muslims for Constructive Engagement. And as we've noted in some of our conversations with John Loftus, one of the really sad and devastatingly tragic aspects of the contemporary political scene is that this fascist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, has been able to manipulate the situation in such a way as to become the voice for American Muslims, and it is not representative of American Muslims or, as far as I can tell, Muslims throughout the world. The Muslim Brotherhood is fascist and is part of the Fascist International, inextricably linked with German and Italian fascism, as we've spoken about so many times. But, sadly, not only is the Muslim Brotherhood front and center in the AMCE, but the, quote, Muslim, moderate, unquote, Muslim outreach organization to the Obama administration. But one of the people that is heading this up is none other than Abu Bakr Ahmed al-Shengieti, who was the number two man in the Sudanese government of President Omar al-Bashir, which not only prosecuted genocide against Christian and animists in the 1990s, it is prosecuting genocide, yea, verily, as we speak, in Darfur. That's basically how that's Muslim Brotherhood moderation in action. Perhaps even more significantly for our purposes, two of the top people in the AMCE behind this murderer, this fascist murderer, are none other than Jamal al-Barzinji and Yaqub Mirza, two of the main people who figured in the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids and on whose behalf Talat Otman interceded. The following article is from Genocide Henchman Leading Muslim Outreach to Obama by Patrick Poole of Pajamas Media. And we're going to go into this and review some information. In the 1990s, the extremist Muslim Brotherhood government of Sudan, led by President Omar al-Bashir, was continuing a genocidal jihad against the Christian and animist populations inhabiting the south of the country that killed nearly 2 million people and forced another 4 million from their homes. In July 2008, Bashir was indicted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes related to the regime's subsequent genocide in Darfur. As Bashir was waging his Holocaust against the Christians during the 1990s, one of his closest advisors and top aides was Abu Bakr Ahmed al-Shengieti, who from 1993 to 1995 served as spokesman for Bashir's government, as he was identified in a 1994 New York Times article. According to al-Shengieti's own published resume, he later served Bashir as director of public affairs for the presidency from 1995 to 1998, as the genocidal jihad against the Christians was at its height and Sudan was the hub of the International Islamic Terror Network. As reported by the New York Times, eight individuals charged in the New York Landmarks bombing plot in 1993 were traveling on Sudanese passports. As a result of those arrests, Sudan was added to the U.S. State Department list of state sponsors of terrorism in August of 1993. That was not long after al-Shengieti's boss began sheltering Osama bin Laden, who lived in Khartoum from 1992 to 1996. With the close advisory role that bin Laden had with the Sudanese president and other high-ranking officials, it is highly likely that al-Shengieti would have had regular direct contact with bin Laden, as well as a host of other terrorist leaders who regularly visited Khartoum during al-Shengieti's tenure. This is particularly relevant as al-Shengieti will be heading the U.S. Muslim outreach to the Obama administration as the president of American Muslims for Constructive Engagement, or AMCE, a collaborative effort by U.S.-based Muslim Brotherhood front organizations to infiltrate our federal government. A recent open letter signed by al-Shengieti identifies him as AMCE's president. The group states its vision as, quote, the United States Muslim community and the United States government working together constructively in enhancing national security and national interests of the United States of America. The lead organization in AMCE, the International Institute for Islamic Thought, which al-Shengieti serves as regional director, is the current focus of a federal grand jury probe into terrorist financing. Parenthetically, that is one of the organizations that was targeted by the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. At least two other AMCE groups, the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CAIR, and the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, were named by federal prosecutors as unindicted co-conspirators in the recent Holy Land Foundation terrorism finance trial, which resulted in convictions on all 108 counts. And the Muslim American Society, or MAS, was identified in federal court briefs by the Department of Justice as the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. And still more. Now here, in addition to IIIT, Jamal Barzinji and Yaqub Mirza, associates of the Bank Altaqua, headed up by former Nazi spy Youssef Nada, founded, according to Ernest Bacchus, with whom I've exchanged emails, by none other than François Genoux, the heir to the political last will and testament and collected literary works of Adolf Hitler, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Goebbels. Continuing with this document. And documents received this past August by the Investigative Project through a Freedom of Information Act request revealed that AMCE Steering Committee member Jamal al-Barzinji and AMCE Advisory Council member Yaqub Mirza were listed in FBI memos as, quote, members and leaders of the Ikhwan, which is the Arabic term for the Muslim Brotherhood. Department of Homeland Security Senior Agent David Kane has testified in a federal court affidavit that, quote, Barzinji is not only closely associated with PIJ, or Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but also with Hamas. A December 2002 Wall Street Journal article relates some additional information about the terrorist connections of AMCE Advisory Council member Yaqub Mirza. By the way, Yaqub Mirza, also a member of the board of directors of PTEC, which developed the threat assessment software architecture for the FAA, the U.S. Air Force, and NORAD, as well as the Department of Energy, which oversees nuclear power plants and which hasn't been touched. By the way, I suspect some of the anomalous performance of air defense units on September 11th had a lot to do with the fact that their threat assessment software architecture was developed by a Muslim Brotherhood offshoot. Again, now I understand theater of the absurd and those genres of European cinema that I found so disturbingly incomprehensible as a youth. Continuing. According to court records and Justice Department documents, Mr. Mirza and several associates are suspected of funding the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which targets Israeli civilians with suicide bombers. U.S. officials privately say Mr. Mirza and his associates also have connections to Al-Qaeda and to other entities officially listed by the U.S. as sponsors of terrorism. Another FBI memo obtained by the Investigative Project states that Al-Shingeti's organization, IIIT, was one of the Ikhwan organizations that, quote, are involved in organizing political support, which involves influencing both public opinion in the United States as well as the United States government, unquote. This political influence campaign was considered the first phase in a plan, quote, to institute the Islamic Revolution in the United States, unquote, according to the FBI document. It is appropriate to revisit these extensive contacts between AMCE member organizations and officials and the International Muslim Brotherhood Network, and even activity by AMCE leaders in support of Islamic terrorist organizations, because another Muslim Brotherhood strategic document entered into evidence by federal prosecutors in the Holy Land Foundation trial revealed that the activity of these organizations in the U.S. is part of a grand jihad to destroy the West from within. Skipping down, these connections and the Muslim Brotherhood's stated goal of waging a grand jihad inside the U.S. raise particular concerns considering statements reported by the Wall Street Journal made by Al-Shingeti's current boss, Jamal al-Barzinji, parenthetically again, one of the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002, on whose behalf, longtime George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush political ally Talat Atman interceded. Continuing. And beginning again, these connections and the Muslim Brotherhood's stated goal of waging a grand jihad inside the U.S. raise particular concerns considering statements reported by the Wall Street Journal made by Al-Shingeti's current boss, Jamal al-Barzinji, at a fall 2001 Organization of Islamic conference meeting in Qatar, bragging how he and his associates had successfully infiltrated Washington. Quote, at this time, the president, that's George W. Bush, by the way, at this time, the president, parenthetically George W. Bush, and his administration, parenthetically including Karl Rove and Grover Norquist, are continually seeking the counsel and input of American Muslim leaders. At no other time has the Muslim community in America been more effective in relation to the processes of American government. And indeed, Sami Al-Aryan, or Sami the Aryan as I call him, the darling of the progressive community in Pacifica Radio, was a longtime George W. Bush ally and took credit for, I guess, basically putting Florida into the Republican camp and giving George Bush the victory in 2001. Well, the Supreme Court deserves a huge tip of the hat in that regard. So does Catherine Harris. So does that lynching victim Hanging Chad. That is another story. I talked about that at great length. Again, now I want to note that former Harkin Energy Director and BCCI protege Talat Altman, ally, a personal friend and political advisor to both Georges Bush, and also part of the slumlord milieu of which helped to nurture Barack Obama in his Chicago days, Talat Altman is he's part of the Barack Obama Chicago milieu, and I've noted in a number of programs that the Muslim Brotherhood went to great lengths during the presidential campaign to badjack it Barack Obama. One can only wonder what moved Barack Obama to appoint as head of into a key intelligence position Charles Freeman. Now, Charles Freeman is not only an associate of the same milieu of Talat Altman, and we'll talk about that inside too, but Charles Freeman was the elder George Bush's ambassador to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War. Again, theater of the absurd, anybody? This is just surreal. But with the quote, moderate, unquote, outreach to Barack Obama being basically Muslim Brotherhood and the people targeted by the Operation Green Quest raids and basically saved by Superman Talat Altman, who put on his red cape and blue tights and came breezing in to the rescue of the Muslim Brotherhood. But Charles Freeman is part of this same group on the other side, heading up a key intelligence council. He's got the same elements. This is from the Examiner.com website, Politics by Pamela Hess of the AP. Review of intel officials' ties to Saudi government. Dateline Washington, it reads in part, at the request of House Republicans, and parenthetically a subsequent correction to this indicated that two Democrats had also called for this investigation, at the request of House Republicans, a government watchdog is examining whether the new chairman of an influential U.S. intelligence panel has compromising ties to Saudi Arabia's government. At issue is the appointment of Charles Freeman, U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War, to lead the National Intelligence Council. It writes the national intelligence estimates, the best judgments on critical security issues from the 16 intelligence agencies for the president. Oh, goody, says Dave. Continuing, the National Intelligence Director, Dennis Blair, said to a spokeswoman he believes that the inspector general reviewing the matter, quote, will put to rest any questions about Ambassador Freeman's suitability, character, and financial history, unquote. A dozen House Republicans, including House Minority Leader John Boehner of Ohio and Party Whip Eric Cantor of Virginia, asked this week for a probe into whether Freeman has personal, financial, or contractual links with the Saudi government. Republicans on Thursday also asked for a review of Freeman's relationship with China and Iran. Freeman has served on an international advisory board of the government-owned Chinese National Offshore Oil Company, according to a biography posted on BusinessWeek.com. The company signed a $16 billion agreement with Iran to develop one of its oil fields in 2007. And skipping down, Freeman has stirred controversy on conservative blogs because of his sharp criticism of the Israeli government, the Iraq War, and the Bush administration's approach to fighting terrorism. Freeman, until recently, was president of the Middle East Policy Council, a Washington think tank. The Republicans claim in their letter that the Saudi government funds the organization, parenthetically it does, and therefore paid his $87,000 annual salary. But they don't mention that basically he was the elder George Bush's ambassador to Saudi Arabia any more than these same conservative blogs, etc., are going to talk about the Operation Green Quest raids. But more about this devastating theater of the absurd on side two, because this concludes side one of For the Record program number 666, Badjacketing Obama Part 4. This is being recorded on March 8th of 2009. Please use the SpitfireList.com website. Your life may be at stake. My name, in fact, your life damn bloody well is at stake. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.